you want to make your money make sense? Listen to Business Sense every Monday to Thursday, 6 p.m. to 8 p.m. and make sense of your money.
Well, good evening to you and welcome to the second and final hour of the show. It is a Business Sense right here on Adventist World Radio. We are powered by SID Media. It is, of course, the 9th of October 2024. It is a Wednesday, and that means that it is time for entrepreneurship and small business. But I just want to take the time to say thank you so much for staying with us in the first hour. Really, really appreciate you. And if you've just joined us, welcome to the show. I don't know where you've been, what you've been doing, what you've been up to, but this is definitely the show and the station that you should be in, right? It is Business Sense right here on Adventist World Radio. We are powered by SID Media. +27734703520. That is +27734703520. That's a number that you can use to talk to us and let us in on some of the questions that you might have for my guest this evening. As I mentioned, it is a Wednesday. It's a very important day because we speak to entrepreneurs on this day across the African continent, which makes it very nice. Yeah, across the African continent, and that makes it really, really nice. And today is no different at all. We're talking to Benita Malaba, and Benita will be telling us a little bit about her business, some of the ups and downs, if any, that she went through. But more importantly, what are some of the lessons that she's learned in her entrepreneurial journey? We also want to know about her business as well. What is it that they do? So that for those of you who also want to be entrepreneurs, aspiring, looking to get into entrepreneurship, I hear it's not an easy journey, but she'll tell us a little bit about that. But maybe her story, her business as well, will inspire some of you who want to get into this space. And she's joining us this evening. Good evening, ma'am.
Good evening, Tapelo.
How are you?
I'm well, thanks. And how are you, sir?
Ah, I'm good. Thank you so much for asking. Are you well?
I'm very well. I'm very well. Thank you.
Good to hear that. It is the last quarter of the year. For business people, I'm sure it's a busy time.
Oh, it is. Yes, indeed. It is really. It's busy. It's a busy time for us business people,
yeah.
I must say.
Okay. That means there's lots of money that's been made, right?
We are anticipating.
Anticipating, right?
It's not easy though, but yes, of course. I must say we are looking forward to a good year.
Yeah, definitely. Yes. Yeah, the end of the year, last quarter. How has the year been for you personally and for your business as well? Before we get into perhaps a little bit about it.
The year is still good.
Okay.
It's good. I must say, of course, very busy and challenging.
Yeah.
But I guess that's how life should look like. Sometimes it's not always smooth, but then with God on our side, we believe it's a learning curve and we experience a lot of things that will make us strong and move on.
Ah, fantastic. Really, really appreciate that. Okay, tell us a little bit about yourself then. Who are you? Where were you born? How was it like growing up? And just some of those highlights there.
Okay. Maybe I can start by saying my name is Benita Malaba Merit. Malaba, but my maiden name is Nguni. You know Nguni?
Yes.
I was born at a place, a village called Mapisa. You know Mapisa Kezi? You go from Bulawayo, you go Matopo, Kezi, Mapisa, and Matangeni village. That's where my umbilical cord is buried.
Yeah.
Yes. That's where I was born, but I grew up in Bulawayo, where I did my primary and secondary education. Haven't started my early childhood at a school called Zuhamba Primary School in the village. And I proceeded to Bulawayo for my primary and secondary education. I also did my tertiary education in Bulawayo. I proceeded to Harare, where I also did my tertiary education. I went to University of UNISA.
Okay.
And I did my degree in business.
Okay.
And then I went to Solusi University to do my master's.
Yeah.
And I, when I was doing my, say, what do you call this, university?
Yes.
Now, when I did my master's, I was doing it from the Solusi, but I was coming from Botswana.
From Botswana. Okay,
yes,
sure.
Yes.
What's it like growing up in the village?
Oh, it was nice. I enjoyed growing up in the village because that's the memory that I have now.
Yes.
You know, growing up with grandmothers. You know, my children will always say, I always refer my life back to back then. And then I always mention my grandmother did this.
Yes.
My grandmother will wake us 8 in the morning and we're singing Lord in the morning.
Mm.
And I must say, the early childhood is very, very important, Tapelo, because that's what is coming out now. That's what is built, has built me, and it, that's what I'm passing on to the next generation, which is my children, and I expect them to pass them from generation to generation.
Yes.
And I must say, apart from business, this is God's business that you should bring up your children the way they should, so that when they grow up, they will not depart from it.
Yeah.
I guess I am in a good example of that verse, because what I'm referring now to my children are my early childhood activities.
Yes.
And I must say this, growing up in the village, our grandmothers used not to read and write, but they would sing some songs from number one in our hymnal, vernacular to 300 off head, you know, it just according to the notes. You see what I and prayers that we used to do.
Yes.
Those are the prayers that are still sustaining me even now.
Sure. That's lovely, lovely. I love the part about, you know, I suppose, you know, the lessons that you learned in your childhood, also making sure that the next generation also, you know, refers to them, learns from them as well, which is quite very, very important. Because I do think that if there's no, you know, conversations like that, our history gets distorted somehow.
Yes, yes, definitely.
Yeah,
definitely.
And we don't want that. Sure, lovely, lovely. Okay, let's talk about your business then. That's what we are here about. Tell us a little bit about that and how did it start?
Okay. I must say thank you for having me, and God bless you, Tapelo,
thank you
and
so
your
much.
Team.
Thank you so much.
Yes, like I mentioned, I am a married woman, mother of a daughter and a son, a born-bred Seventh-day Adventist.
Yes.
I'm a holder of a master's degree in business management or administration.
Yeah.
And I currently run a water treatment business, purifying drinking water, industrial processes water, mining processes, wastewater treatment, and reticulation, and any water quality related function we do.
Okay.
All right.
Yeah.
Yes, I must say I found myself in this industry through my quest for, you know, quest for perfection in the niche market. I must say I used to be a quality controller or chief quality controller in a manufacturing factory.
Makes sense,
And, you know, when you're a quality somebody, you perfect, you make sure that, you know, it's in you, it's in your blood. Yes. And secondly, into this business, it was through marriage.
Okay. All right. So is the husband also part of it?
Yes.
Oh, okay.
I think that's the main thing, actually. I'm married to a crazy water quality technologist, I must say. We talk water, we speak water, we eat water, we drink water, but, you know, everything is water, water.
Even your dates about water, when you go out on a date, you talk about water as well.
Exactly. I had no choice. I had no choice.
That's lovely.
I chose to show my support for my husband's passion. By joining him. From my managerial expertise, while you know he's leaving him to explore his crazy ambitions in the technical wing.
And when did you join then? And precisely when did the business start? And when did you join?
The business started some 25 years ago.
Oh, that's
we are talking of 1998,
1999 Yo. There. Yeah. Okay.
It's quite a long time, hey?
Yeah, no, it is. 25 years of this business is really a long time.
Yes.
And how long have you been with the business?
25 years.
Since, same 25 years?
Yeah.
Oh, my goodness.
I'm old, Tep.
Oh my goodness.
I'm old in this business.
No, that's interesting. That's interesting. But I think it really then, you know, makes you, I suppose, the right person to talk to because you've seen the ups and downs of this business. You've sailed it through the difficult times and all that, eh?
Yes. It's not easy, you know, from the, I always tell people that when you see someone walking there and you feel like, I wish I was in that person's shoes, wait until you get in their shoes. But I must say, I appreciated all these years of ups and downs.
Yes.
And I thank God, because if it wasn't for God, I don't think I'll be here.
Yeah, definitely. That's true. So, so I'm sure there are other businesses that do water purification, reticulation and all that. What makes yours different?
You know, yes, they are really, they are a lot of them.
Yeah.
But mine is through the stringent services standards.
Yeah.
We don't compromise on getting excellent water quality results through service provision.
And that's what sets you apart.
My company is the only water treatment company in the country that employs qualified chemists and microbiologists.
That's interesting. I mean, that would mean then, because in my mind, I'm thinking water purification is a government responsibility, it's a municipal responsibility, you know, what other people might call local government and all that. I'm sure you have conversations about that with the government as well. But who are your customers? Yes. Do you also get like private customers?
Yes, we do. We do. We do get private customers as well. Like I said, that we service. We do all the water treatment, water related business.
Yeah.
Like we also do the mines and the hospitals.
Okay.
In the theaters, they need that pure water without any impurity. So we purify their water. They use steam. Mm. That steam is produced through, you know, purifying the clean water.
Yes.
And like you said, it's a government mainly.
Yeah.
You know, we supply with the water treatment chemicals and equipment with the government as well through water utilities.
Yes.
And not only in towns.
Yeah.
We also have installed some machines out in the outskirts, in the villages where there are no electricity, but we make use of solar system.
Please, my next question, I'm a very I'm a novice in this space, so I know nothing, but I know, is it reverse osmosis? So how do you guys clean the water?
We use we do also use the
reverse osmosis.
Yes, though it's like it's an old method of doing things, but it's still used now, depending on the quality or on the what do you call this, the size of we purify our water using chlorine dioxide. It's not quite new, but it's something that is we researched and we saw that the purifying water, you need something which is not harmful to human consumption, especially for drinking water. Yes, that's what we use, chlorine dioxide.
Okay.
That's the method that we introduced and we use.
Ah, okay. That's lovely. Yes. And is that the same that other people are using, or perhaps that's what sets you also apart from others?
It's the one that sets us apart from others because we introduced this system.
Ah, fantastic.
Yes,
okay.
It was Integrated Business Investments that introduced this system, and we rolled out to the whole country.
Yes. Okay. All right. See, I hope... you know, they are catching up in a way, because that's the last method that I understood about, you know, how water is purified. And clearly this was decades ago. That's old information that I still have.
Reverse osmosis.
And do you sell bottled water?
Not really.
Okay.
I think I'll say something about the bottled water maybe at the end.
Okay.
Yes.
Okay.
So when I talk about the time when during the COVID time, then I'll factor in the bottled water.
That was my next question, because I wanted to understand, how did you navigate COVID as a business?
Hell, since we were an essential, we are providing essential services.
Yes.
We did not close.
Okay.
We when we were home, we were called.
Yeah.
We were called that you are one of the essential services provider.
Yes.
So you may have to go back to the work.
Yeah.
And may I quickly say this?
Mm.
I'm a very, very strict person when it comes to the rules and regulations when it comes to health.
Yeah.
So it was said no one should go outside, you know, and I'll close, make sure the gates are closed, no one goes out. But now, since they have said, you guys, you cannot be at home while the nation is crying for clean water.
Yes.
Because we're servicing the hospitals and then they Yes. So what we now, I was just puzzled, what should we do? Then my husband is a chemist. He said COVID is not something that people should be afraid of.
Okay.
Then he says, I need to devise or to look or to research and see how best we could treat this animal called COVID. Because if you can wash your hands with soap, and water and it kills it, then there must be a method that could be used to reach our lungs. But you cannot drink, even if you drink, lungs is only air, it's only gas.
Yeah.
What can we do? And then I'm not very sure whether you heard of a solution called Omoti solution.
Okay.
I don't know, during COVID, he did the research and he mixed up his chemicals and, you know, but that one was natural, like the oxygen in water.
Okay.
But we wanted to get that oxygen in water into gas.
Yeah.
So he had some, I wish he was here to explain how he mixed his chemicals and then came out with a vapor like or gas like that we used to inhale. The first COVID-19 was not a problem to us, because when you inhaled that gas, it was going straight to your lungs and melts and deactivate inactivate the virus and cut those, you know. Then it was like you cough it out, you sneeze it out, or you have diarrhea and all those things. So during COVID, we were allowed to move around do our services, knowing that we have something that will prevent us, or something that when you catch COVID, you inhale it and you're fine. Yes.
So I guess this should
be a subject for another day.
Yes, definitely. Just to unpack the technicalities behind
it. Yes, he can unpack the technicalities of it.
Makes sense. Okay. Is it a business that required you to, source a lot of funding 25 years ago, but also each and every year, does it require any capital to further do research or sometimes even to better the systems that you have?
Yes. Every time, because remember, we are in an era whereby technology or knowledge is increasing.
Mm.
So you can't stay at one place.
Mm.
So you need to, you know, get capital, invest in the business more so that at least you improve your services, you improve your technology, you improve everything that needs to be improved.
Yes.
Because, yeah, business-wise, yes, but one here and there, you need to top up what you have.
And how do you guys then source the funding?
At first, what we used to do, we started with small businesses.
Mm.
Yes, we started with small businesses like bakeries.
Oh, okay.
And dry cleaning. And those small businesses, they made us to grow to bigger and bigger.
Yeah.
And fortunately, we started like my husband was working for a South African company.
Yes.
And when I decided to join him, I was here as a as the word has run out. Of
okay,
my
no,
mouth.
It will come back. Don't worry.
A go between, I'll be the middleman.
Yes, okay.
You know, local. They wanted locals.
Yeah.
Manufacturers and local suppliers.
Yes.
So I'll get the products from South Africa.
I'm with you.
And yes, that's how I grow. That's how I grow my business.
Ah, fantastic. Okay. And who was the first person that gave you guys a break? I mean, I know that, you know, when you start a business, especially if you were working, now you're starting your own, you need that first break that will prove to you that perhaps we're on the right track. Do you remember your first customer?
Yes.
Okay.
Like I said, my first customers.
Yes. Oh, it's an S. Look at that.
Yeah. Yes. But it was the dry cleaners.
Oh, okay.
And the bakeries.
Yeah.
Yes.
And how was it?
And you know, when you're starting, every little table or cents matters.
Yeah, true.
I remember I used to get 2,400 from it was 1.4 from one bakery. You remember, you can imagine.
Yeah.
And I'll be very happy getting a check, running to the bank and putting it into depositing in the bank. And then from there was another one for 2.4.
Mm.
And, you know, I kept on, and I remember the most big check that I received those years was a 20,000 from the DBS. You can imagine.
That was a lot of money back then.
DBS, yes. Those were my first customers.
Mm. Sure. Okay. And how have you grown your customers then? I mean, I know in the world we live in today, there's social media, there's all those sort of stuff. I don't know if in the water space there's a need for social media, but how do you grow your customers? Word of mouth, maybe?
Indeed, word of mouth is always, you know, we're using also the old time, you know, methods, words of mouth.
Yes,
we do that, and we also do social media. We put in adverts. We also do advertisements.
Yeah.
We also look for tenders.
Oh,
I mean,
they,
you know, whenever they put a tender, we tender.
Yeah,
and you know, it's difficult, you know, as an Adventist, if I may say.
Yes,
because sometimes you people would want to, you are living in another world now.
True.
People would want to, you know, corruption, something like that. Not per se, but someone will say, okay, this is a tender, you know, what we I cannot say much about it.
Yeah.
But to be honest, the Lord has been
with you. I love
Been with us, because sometimes some of the clients will say, okay, you guys, we are putting you aside, get to somebody, and then that person maybe doesn't deliver as we do. Mm. At the end of the day, they say, please come help us.
Yeah,
you know,
that's
how we, you know, we grow our business. And we still keep those old clients because they are dear to us.
Yes.
They are, you know, they are very important.
Yeah. That's very true. Love it, love it, love it. I mean, I think that's the reward of being faithful. You know, God is able to bring back that money where you decided to be faithful and not do some dodgy stuff.
Yes.
Because it's really easy to do dodgy stuff in this world that we live in. What are the challenges so far in the 25 years in the business?
The challenges, I must say, business and prudence may not become compatible all the time.
Yes.
Your Christianity values and professionalism can be construed as, you know, non-compliance.
Yeah.
You see, that's the other challenge.
Yeah.
Yes.
And how do you deal with that?
They may judge you as a difficult organization if you don't negotiate. You see what I mean? Yes.
Okay. And how do you navigate that then? Do you need to humble yourself and try and convince them, or how do you do it?
Our stringent for quality, always stand firm, always stand out.
Yeah.
And they will definitely know that if we failed here, we'll still go back to. Yes, we are loyal to our customers. We are loyal to our quality of, you know, of doing things.
Okay. Love it. All right. We're going to come back to how people can get a hold of you also on social media as well. But I just want to focus as we draw to an end around you now as an entrepreneur. What do you think is the one or two things that drive you, in other words, that make you still wake up in the morning and say, I will still continue to do this. We are going to do it to our best of our abilities. And sticking it up all these 25 years, being an entrepreneur and not going back to corporate.
You know, looking at your clientele, you see people giving you positive results. You know, it keeps me going to see somebody having satisfaction of the services or the ministry, I may say, that we're doing.
Yeah.
It keeps me going, and, you know, and to give humanity what they need the most. Yes,
water.
Because it's like a calling to me. Water is very important
to
us, humanity, and you need to give them clean water.
Yes.
If someone is happy about your services, you're happy about what you give them, it gives me, you know, courage to go on and on and on and give that good service.
Is that why you don't want to give up?
Not giving up.
There's
really
no giving up. It is very true. All right. And over the 25 years, how has this business affected you, particularly you in relation to the family? And I'm also asking this because in the context of the fact that it's the both of you in the business, you've got kids, and, you know, I'm sure there are days when the both of you are not around, or there's days when, you know, maybe the father is not around, you need to stick around and chase after things and get things done. But how has running a business affected the family life?
You know what? It's very difficult in a way. It's challenging and it's interesting, exciting to have a business run by family members like a husband and a wife.
Yeah.
Yes. We have some challenges in case we travel. You know, if both of us travel, then obviously for a long time or for holidays or whatever, you know that you are challenged. What you know, you need somebody, one of you, to be there. Fortunately enough, my daughter, my firstborn, my one and only, anyway, I just have two children, immaculate. She's doing her master's at the moment.
Sure.
But she's the one who is running the business in our absence. She's been running it for now, it's for more than 2 years.
Oh.
She's been doing well, I must say.
Yes.
That's a exciting that somebody, even if we are to retire, someone
Yes.
is going to take. That's the advantage of having that family business.
Ah, okay.
Yes. And we have built a team which is no longer employees and employers, but we are now a family with, you know, everybody is saying, this is mine, this is mine, this is mine. Even if we are not around, we know that not 100% will be lost, but at least there are people who are looking after our business.
Yes.
And then the disadvantage again is that when we are home, like you are just seated at home instead of having good family time, now guess what happens? Something crops into somebody's mind, and then we are into a meeting now. The office has come home, you know. No time for, but anyway, we are trying to work on that and say, guys, I think here we should have a stop. Somewhere we draw a line between business issues and home issues,
home
family
issues.
But honestly, you can't be 100% out of business when you are a family-oriented business people.
That's true. And I was even about to ask to say, what's your typical day like? Do you guys talk at home about business before you sleep? You pray, I'm sure, about the business and all that. So the typical day gets very busy.
Yes. Yeah, extremely busy because we are all into it.
Yes,
we are all into it. We you know, day in, day out, you wake up in the morning, you do your schedules for the day, obviously you pray, you do all those things, but at the same time you need to do maybe family things, but business will always, you know, be there. Business will always be number one, you know, you are always talking about how to navigate, how to do that and that, did you do that, you know, that kind of thing, and instead of, you know, giving them reports at work, because what happens is that we are in, I am into administration and my husband is into technical, you know, they go out and service the clients outside of the office. Definitely when we come, we need to update each other how the day was and so on and so forth. So that will definitely affect our family life as well.
It really does.
Yes.
Okay. And 25 years later, what would you say is the one, I mean, we spoke about the one challenge and all that, but what would you say is the one victory, that one highlight? I'm sure, like you said, I think it was 20,000 at the time was a big highlight, but are there other highlights as well?
Yes, now. Yes, I must say the Lord has been good to us. Yes, really, to be honest with you, we're not regretting anything. Honestly, or if I say I want to go and join, I wish I had known this well before. Because, you know, we were taught or wired to focus on a white job collar, not knowing that you can also create one.
You see,
and the effort that you put in somebody's business, and when you convert it to your own business, you see that it's not wasted time.
You
know, yes, it's not wasted time. So we have grown, I must say, we have grown really to an extent that the little that we had, we are not millionaires, we are striving to be one, but we know one day we'll get there.
Definitely
we'll get there, because what we have decided to do, we have decided to diversify. Yes, you know, things are changing. Everywhere things are changing. But because there are things that you work towards too, and then said, okay, this little man that I have gotten from this business, let me diversify and invest in something else. And that one, again, I think it would be a discussion for another day. You know, entrepreneurs, we don't stay in one place. Personally, I feel we need to navigate and see where we can invest, you know, not in one area, because once the area is saturated, it means in the long run, as you grow, you might lose some of your businesses or some of your clients. So you get into something new. I always look forward to get into something new.
Definitely. We must diversify.
Yes, Yes, diversify. And, this thing of water, business of water is not mainly for women.
I always
see men in the industry. And I'm going to another industry, which is mainly saturated with men.
That is
mining, but that one is for another day,
right? And I have a feeling that next time we speak to you, we won't only be millionaires but billionaires, in dollar terms, for that matter.
Yes.
So I'm definitely sure we're gonna be there. Okay, let's talk now about, if you look back at the 25 years, of running this business. If you had an opportunity to redo something over and start all over again, what would you change?
I would, if they need to start all over, it will be to look for financiers to roll out these simple but effective ideas to the whole of Africa.
Yeah. Okay, yes. Financiers. So yes. Finance is important.
Yes, it is really, because now it's only in the one country, but I'm looking forward to roll out this, especially to countries with the diseases like cholera, and then very poor countries, that's where we would want to maybe get some finances instead of trying to get a little bit from here and there, trying to sustain ourselves.
Yeah.
And get from the small company or the little that we have. Then if somebody can get some finances, the better,
that
to roll
be
it in a bigger
scale.
Yes.
Yeah. Fantastic. That's also very true. Okay. There are other young people, out there that look up to yourselves and your business, and they also want to get into business as well. What would be your message to them?
The younger generation, the younger people, I would tell them, gone are those days when you look forward to be employed.
Yes.
Yes. And the Bible simple says, it exclaims that we should be heads and not the tails. We should claim that promise. How do somebody become the head and not the tail? You see? Yes. In innovation, in your line of expertise, it did not end with whoever did it last.
Yes.
You understand?
Yes.
It has to continue. Yes. As God's children, you should always ask him to inspire us to find alternatives and more effective and efficient ways of doing things that to add value to humanity.
Yeah.
Yes.
Lovely.
Yes, the young people should always endeavor to always better their best.
Definitely.
Don't be content with what you are.
Yeah.
Move on. Try by all means. I would suggest that they grab, especially if there are some facilities that empower young people. Grab. Don't be afraid.
Them.
As a young person, you still have a long way to go. You still have energy. You have everything that it takes to get you somewhere else.
Yes.
Unfortunately, for some of us, we're not motivated by anybody. We just found ourselves looking forward to do something better.
Okay. Lovely. And where can people find you and find your services as well?
We are in Botswana, plot number 63, unit B6 and B5 in Commerce Park, Gaborone.
Yeah.
International Commerce Park.
Yeah.
Yes.
Okay.
My number?
Yes.
My number is +267.
Yeah.
71.
Yeah.
71. 0649.
And on social media?
Yes. My office number is 316-4240.
Yeah.
And my email address is mamgweb@gmail.com. That is mamgweb@gmail.com.
All right.
Yes.
Thank you so much.
In our social media, we are integrated business investments.
Ah,
water specialists.
Exactly. I love the integration part. It speaks to that there's quite a lot more other services that you offer as well. Yes. In a very integrated and coordinated way. But thank you so much, ma'am, for joining us this evening. I really appreciate your time, and may God continue to bless you. Like I said, my sense is that we're going to be talking to you next time and you will be counting billions in the business.
Yes, sir.
Definitely.
Yes, Capello.
Thank you so much and God bless.
Thank you for having me.
Thank you so much.
All right. Okay, bye.
Bye-bye. Of course, that was Umam Benitha Malaba talking to us this evening about her business, where they've been and what they're doing. They're in the water space, which, as you might know, is a very, very important sector. We need water for us to live. Right. And there's a slogan that water is life. So, yeah, please engage with them. Make use of their services. They are available even on social media as well. Thank you so much to Mrs. Malaba for joining us this evening.
Adventist World Radio SID Media. We are not general practitioners. We are specialists in Bible-based content.